Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. This Friday, we're going to have a very special Friday with what drink, Julie?
Oh, Fireball Friday. Fireball Friday.
So everybody get ready for that. We're stocking up on Fireballs. I've never had one before, so we'll see. But I'm Chuck Bonneville. That's Julie Hayden. Chuck and Julie, grassroots show, true straight up.
And that's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Chuck, broadcasting today from the world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, which comes, goes to the printer later this week. So he's busy there. We're hoping to get Colonel John Mills with us. We've had him on before. He's a national security expert and can talk about just sort of everything going on and, you know, the various wars and things we have going on in the world. And Chuck, you had a really good idea. Wanted to talk to him about, you know, the FBI there. They've got everything going on with Donald Trump in the trial. Sanders saying
the special counsel,
right?
Special counsel, and yeah,
all about national security. Oh, and Sandra has a tip: if you like cinnamon, you will like Fireball. So there all you right. go, Sandra. I did not know you were a Fireball expert. So, in the meantime, while we don't have him, some interesting news came out over the weekend. You know, and Chuck, you're the poll expert and you watch these, but this was a new poll. CNN was talking about it, showing Donald Trump basically being up and up significantly in some of the battleground states that
five
he lost.
Six. It's the New York Times, I think, Siena poll.
Okay. And what do you, I mean, I don't have, all of the numbers, but we're going to play a CNN soundbite where he goes over it. But you're the one, you follow the polls closely all the time. What do you make of sort of, there is a definite Donald Trump rising trend going on, I think. Every so often, Biden will bump a bit, but
these are the six polls for the six or seven key states. He's leading in all but one of them, the one he's down by one. What was shocking about this poll is how far he was ahead in places like Nevada. 12 or 13 points. I mean, no one, you know, he lost Nevada last time to be ahead by 12 or 13 points. Georgia significantly ahead, very close in Wisconsin, but a point behind in Michigan. But if those polls came out, and of course, Democrats didn't cheat, which is what they well do, you know, if the election were today, Trump would be elected.
And I think one of the interesting things is too is the diversity of it. You know, it's not just a bunch of angry white guy deplorables anymore, right? Which is what they've always said. The left has always said. Now they've got blacks, they got Hispanics. He had a rally with 100,000 people at it. Lawrence Taylor, an African American former football player, came out and said, "I'm voting for Trump. I voted for Biden."
Well, it came out. He was on stage with them along with
right.
O.J. Anderson.
Right.
So the willingness of star football player, black football players to be on stage with them tells you a lot.
Right. I mean, there was a time when that would have been canceled. Everybody would have hollered at him. He would have been shamed, right? He wouldn't have been able to do it. And now, you know, and no one's coming out saying I'm for Biden, except for the people on the View. But even, I mean, the mainstream media, and what's good about this is, as you said, you've said before in campaigns, you're either on the offense or the defense. And when even CNN starts talking about how bad this is, you know, the Trump campaign is on the offense now, I think, and the Biden campaign on the defense, right?
Well, yeah, now, you know, but we've got, you know, the trial today. Cohen was on there. I haven't really heard whether he did. You know, usually you do okay on direct, but who knows?
Right.
I mean, it's interesting for the jurors to kind of go, what's the crime?
Right. Yeah.
Hey,
and from Charlene, Charlene says, looks like lawfare is falling apart. Who is CHRL on chat? That's Chuck. That's Chuck. That's short for Charles Bonniewell. And I want to play the CNN soundbite because they were he wasn't really even actually sounding all that sad. He was just kind of like sounding like, whoa. So, Doug, if we could please play the CNN poll soundbite.
Battleground state. Frankly, for the Joe Biden campaign, these numbers are an absolute disaster. The smallest lead is in Arizona for Donald Trump. He's up 6. Look at this. 9 in Georgia, 13 in Nevada. My goodness gracious. My God. That is a huge lead. No Democrat has lost that state since John Kerry lost it back in 2004. How about these Great Lake battleground states? This is something that the Joe Biden campaign can work with. Look, Pennsylvania, Donald Trump up 3, but that's well within the margin of error. Wisconsin, Donald Trump up 1, well within the margin of error. And actually, a Joe Biden lead well within the margin of error, up a point here. This they can work with, the Joe Biden campaign. This, the Donald Trump campaign, absolutely loves, and it looks like a lot of the other polling on the Sun Belt.
So it's kind of like it's bad news. I mean, it doesn't even, it's just like, oh my goodness, my gosh, it sounds like I'm getting sick and tired of having to say how great Donald Trump is doing. But wanted to talk a little bit about why, because in part, Charlene, I think not only is the lawfare falling apart, I think the lawfare is boomeranging. It's having the opposite effect. But the biggest reason, Chuck, I think is that the Democrats have been completely taken over and are ruled now by these billionaire elites, right? Who don't care about us. They could care less. We, you know, American people say, here's what we think. And they're like, no, you people are idiots. Today at the grocery store, last week, bananas were 59 cents a pound, right? Today, when I went to the grocery store, bananas are up to 65 cents a pound. Like, what's up with that, right? I mean, it's almost a dime in a matter of days. And that's just bananas. And no matter how much the Biden experts try to tell us, oh, you know, you guys are deplorable. You don't understand the economy. You're just stupid. People can see what's happening. And
well,
I think
every time somebody goes through a McDonald's line, you know, to vote for Trump. I mean,
yeah, it was seriously. I got McDonald's for you and Rev the other day, and it was almost $30. It was just like, I mean, it would have been, I don't know. I'm not even exaggerating. It would have been maybe 12. A few years ago, right?
Well, you just, could go out and have drinks for that a few years ago.
Right. This is from Sandra. A pound of ground turkey, $9.99 a pound. I mean, that's just outrageous, right? Now the grocery store, again, this morning, they were selling hamburger marked down, you know, must sell immediately, $4.71 a pound. I mean, and you're looking at it, you're like, I don't even think I would want to eat that, right? It's like in its last legs.
I couldn't give that to our dog.
No, it wouldn't even. And so, and then on top of that, though, they have abandoned the people. They don't care. They're like, what do they say? I mean, I don't think anyone believes it, but by 2025, everybody has to be driving an EV. All of this stuff that just doesn't, that they know. And I think a lot
of
these.
What's amazing is that I think the climate deal is finally falling apart.
Right.
And I think it's finally falling apart because, you know, they went after the farmers in Sri Lanka and in Holland and other places. And all of a sudden people began to realize, no, this climate hysteria has some really tangible, awful effects, and they're not going to just lay off of it.
Right, right. Well, and I think that maybe some of these people would not necessarily be for Donald Trump, but there's no one else to be for, right? I mean, anymore, it's not, I think, so much, and we talked about this, Democrat, Republican, as it is elites versus the rest of us, basically. And people get that. And so I imagine, you know, Lawrence Taylor, in a million years, you would have never thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to be up on the stage with Donald Trump,
right?
But it's, what are your choices? You don't have any. And I think that came out, and you were the one who pointed this out, Chuck, then I'll let you explain it, that great debate or at Oxford, Oxford Union debate with a guy named by the name of Winston Marshall. And then Nancy Pelosi was kind of there. But I think he hit exactly on the head what's going on.
Well, I mean, you know, Oxford Union is was set up in 1825 when the university wouldn't let its juniors debate theological questions. So the students formed a union, first surreptitiously, so they could debate each other. So it's not technically connected to the university. And they've been doing it now for, you know,
a while.
200 years or 150 years. But most of the members of it are students at Oxford, although people can come in for bait. So usually they have four on one side of a proposition, four on the other. The most famous Oxford Union debate was in the 1930s when the question, be resolved, we will not fight for king or country in the next war, and that passed. So it was a huge hubbub. But they've been holding debates for 175 years, 200 years. Oh, I guess it's 200 years.
Well, and so
2025,
this one was,
2024. Yeah, I got it right.
this is,
199 years.
that's great.
And so here they have four debaters, and just like a sprint relay, you want to have your best person last. They finished up with Nancy Pelosi. And I'll say this for her, she's 84 years old. And, she didn't have notes, a bit rambling, but,
She sounded sharp. Yeah, I mean, yes.
I mean, I was compared to Joe Biden, she's got it all in. I mean, she's not stupid, and she was an incredibly, if if you're on the Democratic side, an incredibly effective speaker for the Democrats, unlike our idiot. And then Winston Marshall was on the other side. Winston, this is amazing kind of stuff, because he looks like about a 21-year-old student at Oxford. That's who he comes across. But he's a 35-year-old guy who was part of a neo folk group called Mumford and Sons, who's really pretty famous. They were on in some movies and everything else. And he had to withdraw from the band because he wrote a tweet supporting Andy Ngo's book about fighting Antifa. And I guess all their audiences is lefties, and they couldn't tolerate a member of the band being anything but full lefty. So he left them. No great tragedy. This guy's all his relatives are worth billions. They're all hedge funds, and he calls himself a trustafarian. He's got enough money for 10 lifetimes. But he went to St. Paul's in London, which is an elite prep school. Over half of the people who go there, graduate there, go to Oxford or Cambridge. But boy, he did a great job of just destroying Nancy. Now, the vote was 2-1 for the proposition that populism is a danger to democracy.
Yeah,
Before
that's the hope. And just a programming note. So we've got Doug is talking with Colonel Mills right now, trying to get him to join us on Zoom. So I'm keeping an eye on that. So we'll play the sound bites with this later. But you're right. I mean, that was, I mean, so think about that. Populism is a danger to democracy. I mean, populism is the people. Right? It's like, how can, and that's why Donald Trump is winning, because the elites think that, and they're right, actually, because we do threaten their power, right? Their grasp on the power, because we're waking up, I think, through COVID and everything and seeing what they've done to us. But, and that, so they're like, okay, you guys are the danger. We need to squash you and crunch you and eliminate you as much as possible.
Well, and Nancy Pelosi's one who says, let's get our definition right. This is ethno-nationalistic
What?
populism.
What's that? That's a new word. Is that like white Christian nationalism? Or this is, well,
Ethno-nationalist
they
too.
can't say
And he
white
said,
Christian.
and Winston kind of went, yeah, racist, cracker. It's always the same. They always denigrate everybody. And she also was saying, okay, I'm not saying that people don't know what they're doing, but they're being fooled by the ethno-nationalists appealing to God, guns, and gays. And I mean, she was, I was impressed that she could get out what she was saying, but it was so patently absurd.
I mean, and I never heard the term ethno-national. See, I think
No, that's
they
a
were
new
getting
one.
it. They were saying before white nationalists, right? But the trouble is they have too many people like Lawrence Taylor, who clearly isn't a white nationalist. And then you've got the Hispanic community, and then you've got the Asian community, right? And so you can't keep calling people white nationalists anymore because there are too many people there. So I like that ethno-nationalists. I mean, that's just a slam, a derogatory term that pretty much covers everything, right? It pretty much covers everything.
You bet. You
And
bet.
I see we have Colonel Mills with us now.
All right.
Colonel, are
Hey,
you hot?
Julie. Hey, Chuck. How are you doing?
Hey,
Good.
Julie.
Wow, you have a fancy looking studio. Your world headquarters is pretty cool there.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
wanted to, so let me just introduce you briefly, a national security expert. We've had you on the show before. You've got a great book out, The War Against the Deep State. But wanted to kind of get your take on the many wars going on right now, but you know the kerfuffle, and that's not even the right word. Well, the kerfuffle in the Biden administration over what to do about Israel and Hamas, right? We're giving them weapons, we're not giving weapons. We want peace, we don't want peace. I mean, what's break that down for us a little bit, the latest of what's going on there? Because I have a feeling it's never going to end either.
Well, that's the problem with the they don't know what they want. That's the problem. And so, you know, when you're duplicitous and like that, you know, you just, it's hard to have a national security strategy. But it's Maher Bitar, I think it is. Is that the name? Yeah, Maher Bitar is the person who's the senior director for intelligence and defense on the National Security Council. If you look at anything about this guy, hey, we're a diverse nation. Not everybody's going to be a we're going to have different ethnicities. We're going to have different religions encumber. We're America. We're diverse. Nothing wrong with that. But look at this guy's background. Maher Bitar. The guy is a WEF, you know, rising star. I think that was the award they gave him in 2008. Part of when he was going to Georgetown to get his law degree. I mean, a radical anti-Semite. You know, I mean, he's one of the, I couldn't believe it. I had to like quadruple check this. He's actually worked at the UN, what is it, RWA, the corrupt UN organization that has taken billions over the years and done nothing with it for Gaza. It's been a total money laundering operation. He worked there. And I'm going, wow, I think you could count the number of people who work there and are now in the U.S. government, even in the Biden team, on one hand, and probably still have several fingers left over. I mean, this guy is part of the problem. You know, also, I mean, he's also close to Valerie Jarrett. But, you know, this is we had Rob Malley, who's been removed from his position as the Biden senior negotiator with Iran, because the guy clearly is an Iranian agent. I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion. So this Maher Bitar is Rob Malley 2.0. This is a bad situation, and nothing wrong with diversity. Because everybody's like, you are being racist and, you know, Palestinian phobic. Well, Palestine is not a thing. It's not real. It's so I don't know how I could be phobic against something that's not real. But no, this guy's trouble, so I'm sorry. I think that we need to look into his background, and I don't think he should be encumbering a seat on the National Security Council. I've spent time there, and this person is not just a partisan. I think he's playing not just for the other team; he's playing for the other team, and he's slow walking all the aid to Israel. So that's. You know, but he's just one of many. I mean, you got the Valerie Jarretts, you got others, but this guy is a key person who has direct influence on policy and decision making at the National Security Council. No wonder they're suddenly the ammunition to Israel is being slow walked.
Well, and then you see that the insanity of the complicit media. I was reading today that they, and I'm not sure who they is, have decided that the number of children who've been killed in Gaza actually is about half as many as they've been reporting, which is another way for the media of saying, okay, we were just making it up. Now, for some reason, we're being forced to admit that we were making it up. And it's just so hard to get the truth out of what's going on there.
Well,
and
again, like the truth, there's absolutely no one out there counting dead bodies.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's just no way they have any idea how many have died or haven't died. We all saw the hospital incident where they said Israel bombed this hospital and killed 500 people. Well, they didn't bomb the hospital. They hit the parking lot and six people died, but it was the Palestinians or the Hamas's fault. So, you know, they're just making it up as they go.
Yeah. It's there is no truth. They're just. It's sheer raw emotion, making things up, and we're supposed to be reacting to that. I mean, the Israelis, I don't know what the count of those killed in action on the Israeli Defense Force side is, but I mean, urban operations are always bloody and messy. Yeah. I think the Israelis have been heroic in their measures to limit casualties on the Gazan side. So I'm sorry. I mean, people will get really bent out of shape over that, you know, if you say that. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be an objective observer to what's going on. And the Israelis have gone out of their way. And I think there's several hundred dead and wounded on the Israeli side that wouldn't be dead or wounded. I think probably it's more like in the low thousands that are dead and wounded on the Israeli side. I'm not even talking about October 7th.
Wow.
So
I saw was about 256 dead. But that was a week ago. So,
and if there's 256 dead, I'm sure there's well over 1,000 Israeli casualties, wounded in action. Which
and not
be
to mention,
horrific.
And not to mention, I think there's still 5 American hostages, right? I mean, no one wants to talk about them anymore. It's like, what happened? I mean, I don't know. You know, in your expertise, I got to wonder if they're even alive, right? Which is why maybe they're not handing them over. And I think the Biden administration, like you said, with guys, clowns like this as part of it, don't want to have to acknowledge that. And so it just kind of goes away.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the first things we should always be talking about is the hostages. And we got American nationals that are being held hostage. And clearly that's not a priority of the Biden team playing this. I mean, they're far more concerned with votes in Detroit than they are with getting American hostages back.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, although it looks like they're talking about holding their convention virtually because of some. I mean, it is kind of funny. Even their side hates them.
I hadn't heard that. I mean, this was going to be an absolute freak show in Chicago. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the 68 convention. I mean, I was a little kid at the time, but I remember because my parents watched it and. Why, so I'm going, you got to be kidding me. This is going to be a disaster for the Dems.
I was supposed to be a non-voting delegate to the Chicago convention because I was 18 at the time, but I couldn't vote. You had to be 21 to be a voting delegate, and I'd worked for McCarthy in New York. So I went, if I can't vote, I'm not going to go. One of my great regrets of all time that I didn't go to that convention.
Wow. No, but anyway, that's what they're saying. Politico is reporting that they're talking about doing it, a lot of it virtually, right? Because just to avoid the mess. Well, Chuck, you wanted to talk then, sort of switching gears, if that's okay, national security / some of the Trump prosecution stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, it's been, I've wanted to talk to you about this. So Jack Smith brought the case for the documents down in Florida.
Mar-a-Lago documents.
And the key for him, apparently, was bringing under national security context so he could redact and not have to bring out documents, not have to have pleadings fully published and all the way through. And Judge Cannon's having none of it. She's unredacting the documents. And there is a motion to consider the prosecution to be not just the special counsel, but the whole DOJ, the FBI, the NARA and some other federal ones, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but what it means is you come under the exculpatory evidence rule, all of those agencies would have to come up with all the documents that may be exculpatory for Trump, which could be just blow the whole thing wildly up. But what do you think of Jack Smith trying to claim, this is really a national security question and we have to redact all the documents?
Well, I mean, I think bottom line, it's become an absolute mess. And I mean, I think there was also some concerns that he's been mishandling documents. So welcome to the fun and joy of dealing with classified documents. So he wants to play fast and loose with this. And it sounds like he's been caught in this mess himself. And, I'd love to see the explanation of the National Archivist to explain why they failed to do their duty on January 20th and show up, which is actually, I've gone through their actual law and charter around the National Archivist. Guess what? That actually is an explicit duty, is them showing up to box up the documents. And why did they fail to show up to the Trump White House on January 20th to box up the documents? They did not. So they failed to do their legal and lawful duty. And it's now obvious the National Archivist, who is a Obama appointee, has clearly weaponized the position to an extraordinary. I mean, we never knew we had to worry about the National Archivist being part of the
right.
I mean, for crying out loud, it's the National Librarian. Now the National Librarian is in on it. I mean, this is ridiculous.
That's it. When you have to include a whole new added chapter to your, you know, the war against the deep state and throw librarians in the archive people who knew, right?
Yeah. The national librarian is, has their finger on the Dewey Decimal System.
Well, and it makes it hard to trust because I think there was a time many years ago when, you know, the average person might say, hey, look, they're saying it's national security, so we understand that we can't see it. But it seems like they just say that for everything. Like when, as she's redacting it, you're like, there's nothing national security in here. It's just lies. I mean, how have you seen that change too, where there was a time when actually national security really was national security? Now it's just a weapon. Or was it just always like that and we didn't realize it?
As I've discovered over the last few years is we need strong national security laws to protect Americans from the foreign threat. We've seen a weaponization, and which has exposed the fragility of many of these. And national security law is not well known. And it's we see a lot of the federal government playing extremely heavy-handed. It's not a fair contest at all, because they can assert all these secrecy, all these national security. Very few lawyers know how to work in this world, so they will just run circles around. Unless they get a retired, the chief counsel from NSA or the retired, senior federal prosecutor from the National Security Division at DOJ, not just any other. It has to be from the National Security Division. This is a niche market area that very few lawyers know how to operate in, and it's just, and we're just seeing the exposure of fraud and lies. And but this is a world I've worked in, for decades. And I think exposure of this is a good thing, because it shows we can't use this argument, this cudgel of national security when we're realizing, holy smokes, they're lying about most everything. No, you don't get it. So him attempting to say everything. I mean, Jack Smith is an absolute creep, and they're going, Rolling Stone magazine, the latest right-wing conspiracy is that Jack Smith was over in Ukraine and Romania, shaking down people. It actually looks like that is what he was doing.
That's exactly. So, and it was indeed actually Biden.
Right now, are you more afraid of the Russian government or your own government? I'm sorry to say it'd be my own government.
I would never trust the Russians, period. So
But I wouldn't trust our government.
I would always trust our process and our constitution.
Run right through the Fourth Amendment. So why not run through the rest of it?
Well, I think your point is, Chuck. Yeah, we're learning. A lot of things are being exposed. And what do you think now, Colonel Mills? The FBI, it's resurfaced as the election comes along. They're having reports that foreign governments are going to try to interfere with our election with misinformation.
Well, yeah, I've actually been a little bit surprised, because I'm trying to process this. Blinken, one of the chief points that he brought up when he went to China to get his latest shellacking was accusing the Chinese of election interference. And I'm going, well, that's funny. Wow, that's interesting. I guess the Chinese were doing election interference. I thought it was only the Russians. So I'm a little confused by this with Blinken berating them. What are they going to now? Now they think they're trying to throw the Chinese are trying to throw the election for Trump.
And I think, as we saw with the Mueller stuff, right? They ended up, they charged some fake Russian companies with election interference, but they never could serve. I mean, they didn't even exist. So, well, what do you think in terms of, as we head into the election? And I know you have to go, so just a few more questions. The election cycle, when you look at national security and some of the things we're facing, I mean, what are some of the things that worry you the most?
Well, we're seeing the violence already starting. Everybody's suddenly, in 2020, they were Black Lives Matter and they were Antifers. Okay. But they were communists. And then in the interim, they were transgender crazies. They were squatters, but all of a sudden, voila, they're Palestinian crazies.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing a little bit different is we're also seeing a more proactive Chinese element. I think there's three funding sources that are going on here. First of all is Soros, Arabella, yeah. Dark money. So that's definitely a factor. I mean, these crazies are not doing this for free. This is actually right. The going rate, I think, is still $250 a night. You do the math on that. You're starting to talk about some serious money. So there's you also have traditional green red thread, and that's Islamic extremist money that's involved in a lot of money laundering and also kind of communist, definitely communist. But you also, the third element, and I think this is far more pronounced now, there's been a number of situations where they've shown when students were arrested and taken off the mask. I shouldn't have said students, because 70 to 80% are not students.
Right.
But they've taken off the mask, and it's those of Chinese, appear to be Chinese. There's no crime with being Chinese. But when their first words out of their mouth is, I want to speak to my consulate, I'm pretty sure they're not Americans.
Wow.
There's several videos of that out there. So this no question about, and I think with the Chinese special operators coming across the border, I think, and that they have been pivoting right toward cannabis to skim the money from cannabis operations, gambling, massage parlors, things like that. So now you got a triumvirate of three major groupings helping to fund the street violence. So that's,
why would China want to do that, though? Because as you said, you would think that they would be more worried about Trump than Biden, or is it just the general stirring of chaos?
They want to create hate and discontent. They think the violence will help Biden. I think that's where their calculus is off. I think they are thinking that the violence is going to help Biden because, well, it worked in 2020. Right. And I definitely think there was Chinese involvement in 2020, but I think they need to relook their calculus if they want to win. Because
how would Trump, if he got elected, be able to harness the national security state? I mean, it seems like he'd have to fire half the CIA or all of it, or the NSA or all the other three letter agencies.
Well, we're going to have to, you might remember the Church Committee hearings, and that was on the Senate side. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to have to do that on steroids. I think we have to have a national coming to accounting session on this. And I think we need to put everything on the table, because I think most people will say, hey, this is, we need an app. We need something like the CIA. We need something like the FBI, but we got a problem. And we need a full accounting, a truth commission on what's going on. And I said, fine, you tell the truth, and very possibly your any charges could be withheld. But you don't tell the truth, don't reveal. There's going to be trouble, and I think we have to have just a church commission on steroids to address the matter.
All right. Well, sir, listen, I don't know if you can see the comments. People love you. They're saying, great guest. Thank you. Please invite him back. Very knowledgeable and interesting. I want more. So, well, where can people can get more with your book, right? The War Against the Deep State. And that's available everywhere. Books are available, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah. Also signed copies of both War Against the Deep State, Nation Will Follow. Go to my store. You can get signed copies there, because everybody always asks for signed copies, or just go to Amazon. But it's available at a number of other places. So War Against the Deep State and Nation Will Follow. And then just Colonel Rhett John, Colonel R.E.T. John, Substack, Getter and Truth.
All right. Perfect.
All right,
sir.
Colonel,
thank you.
Thanks
for your
so much for coming on, and we'll have you back.
All right.
No, thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Julie. Take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. That's right. I love it. He's got a great set there. Thank you, sir. That's interesting about the Chinese. I had not heard that, or had seen that, but that it does make sense, because I know that we've talked before about in California, they're seeing a huge increase in Chinese illegal immigrants coming across the border. And you'd kind of be like, why is that? And how is that happening? So, that's, and maybe I'll do some more research on that. Well, let's pivot back to then what we were talking about before. with the Nancy Pelosi saying that the populists are bad. We're bad for America. We're bad, bad, bad. Right. And
bad
that was the debate.
Bad for democracy.
Bad for democracy. And so I want to play a couple of sound bites. So this is this Winston Marshall who was debating Nancy Pelosi. And this is, and then he kind of references her in the first when she's sitting in the audience. But Doug, if we could please play.
Not sitting in the audience. She's sitting on the debating.
On the debating thing. Right. Right. If we could please play Marshall number one.
Before COVID, intelligence services colluded with big tech to have Trump suspended off Twitter. Yes, the same platform which hosted the Taliban and Ayatollah Death to Israel Khomeini, they thought the president crossed the line when he tweeted on Jan 6th, quote, remain peaceful, no violence, respect the law and our great men and women in blue. That's a quote. You may be thinking now that Trump is a populist. You are right. He didn't accept the 2020 elections and he should have. So should Hillary in 2016, so should Brussels, and so should Westminster in 2016, and so too should Congresswoman Pelosi, instead of saying the 2016 election was, quote, hijacked. Quote, hijacked.
Thank you.
Okay. What about the mainstream media? Let me read you some mainstream media headlines. The New Yorker, the day before the 2016 election. The case against democracy. The Washington Post, the day after the election. The problem with our government is democracy. The LA Times, June 2017. The British election is a reminder of the perils of too much democracy.
I mean, and it's funny. And then they go on like, we're the threats to democracy, right? We're the threats to democracy. And I think they're not even pretending anymore with the mainstream media. Chuck, and I'll play the second soundbite where
this is great. So you're not supposed to interrupt your other debater. He doesn't have to recognize you, but you know, you're not supposed to be, I have a question or something else. I mean, I guess he can recognize you if you want to, but apparently Winston tweeted out after the thing, during the thing, she was just mouthing at him, who are you? Who are you? Kind of like, how dare you? I'm the Speaker of the House. Who are you to...
Once again, he's one of those pesky voters, pesky democracy people. But it's like, the thing is that they always accuse us of being the threat to democracy because that's what they're doing. But they're not kidding, right? They've made it clear democracy is the problem as far as if you're an elite. If
well, she gave a definition of democracy. Democracy is far more than just voting. You know, it's respect for law. It's the media. It's, you know.
But it's clear. I mean, they hate us. They're afraid of us and they hate us. If we could please play the Marshall soundbite number two.
June 2017, the two eminent political scientists say the problem with democracy is voters. New York Times, June 2017, the problem with participatory democracy is the participants. Mainstream media elites are part of a class who don't just disdain populism, they disdain the people. If the Democrats had put half their energy into delivering for the people, Trump wouldn't even have a chance in 2024. He shouldn't have a chance. You've had power for 4 years. From the fabricated Steele dossier to trying to take him off the ballot in both Maine and Colorado, the Democrats are the anti-Democrat party. All we need now is the Republicans to come out as the pro-monarchist party. Ladies and gentlemen, populism is not a threat to democracy, but I'll tell you what is. It's elites ordering social media to censor political opponents. It's police shutting down dissenters, be it anti-monarchists in this country or gender critical voices here. Or last week in Brussels, the National Conservative movement. I'll tell you what is a threat to democracy. It's Brussels, DC, Westminster, the mainstream media, big tech, big pharma, corporate collusion, and the Davos cronies. The threat to democracy comes from those who write off ordinary people as deplorable. The threat to democracy comes from those who smear working people as racists. The threat to democracy comes from those who write off working people as populists. And I'll say one last thing. This populist age can be brought to an end at the snap of a finger. All that needs to be done is for elites to start listening to, respecting, and, God forbid, working for ordinary people. Thank you.
I mean, he's just got it, boom, nailed it, right? And of course, that's never going to happen because the elites don't want to start working for ordinary people.
I love the guy behind him who's listening to him. In those debates, you're not allowed to clap, but you can kind of slap your thigh. So, he knew all the rules and he was slapping his thigh. And going, oh, this is great.
Well, but they hit it on the head for why all of a sudden Trump is surging, not all of a sudden, but is steadily surging in the polls. Because the more that happens, the more they try to crack down on the people, the participants in the participatory democracy, or as Sandra says, the Republic, right? The more they try to crack down on the voters, the more people look at Trump and you're like, well, maybe he's not, you know, I don't know, maybe he's no Nikki Haley, but he's better than the elites kind of thing, right? And so it's astonishing to see their panic and their fear. And it goes on both sides of the aisle. I think this is, like I said, this is not necessarily a Republican-Democrat issue. I think it's an elite versus the rest of us, which has become populist. And again, when they try to say the problem with voting is the voters, it's like, well, yeah, that's what it's, then change, right? And they're not going to.
No, they're not. I mean, but it was so beautifully argued. And so, and you know, you could tell you went to a prep school because that was a very much
right.
Of a preppy
right.
Sort of.
Right. No, that was a wonderful delivery, too.
Yeah.
Well, and then speaking of then when democracy, I want to talk briefly also about, you know,
democracy here in Adams County.
Here in Adams County. And once again, the pesky participants. Right. So we've talked about it before. Dave Williams, who is a grassroots hero, was the chair of the Colorado Republican Party, the uniparty rhino, open borders establishment. Hate that. They hate that with a passion. He's attacked daily in the mainstream Anschutz industrial media complex media. He's attacked by just people all over the place. And lately, I would say maybe a handful, maybe not much more than a handful of county Republican Party chairs have decided that they want Dave to resign. I tell you, Dave needs to resign. It's not clear why. Well, because they can't be in power. And so they kind of have launched this move to force Dave to resign, right? Chuck?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. I thought you had something you wanted to say there. And so Daniel Bellefontaine, who was the chair of the Adams County Republican Party, tried to weasel through a couple of months ago at last month at the Adams County Republican Party meeting, a weaselly letter that was going to essentially condemn Dave and say that Dave call a resolution calling on Dave to resign. So they put it off until just this past Thursday, when a whole bunch of participants and voters came and showed up and said, what on earth are you thinking of doing? It's like there's three of you who don't like Dave Williams because he threatens your power, but everyone else loves him, right?
That's absolutely right. And so it was an amazing, 180 turnaround led by Keith Mains, where I said, no,
and Mary Thunberg.
Yes. And they said, no, instead of condemning him and rebuking him, how about we praise him and say we love him? And
yeah.
So what you have the resolution there, don't you, Julie?
Oh, shoot. Oh, let me have to keep talking while I find it.
I'm okay. Well, at any rate, so that got voted 45-5 approximately. They didn't do an exact count, but
here's the thing. They were trying to ram through a resolution denouncing Dave, saying he was awful and calling for his resignation. And once they let the people actually show up, I mean, it was an overwhelming vote. It was like, yeah. There were a ton of people there and only like three people were in favor of denouncing Dave. But instead of not only did they decide we're not going to denounce Dave, they told the Adams County chair, this is what they came up with. Whereas Dave Williams, the Colorado State Chair, has performed his duties with exceptional vigor and the highest ethical standards in compliance with the state law. In respect for his exceptional performance as state chairman, the Adams County Republican Central Committee moves to preclude the Adams County chairman from rebuking the state party chairman by any form of communication while representing the Adams County Republican Party Committee unilaterally without the express consent and confirmed by vote of the ACRC. So again, once they tried to weasel this through when no one was looking, but we're looking now, right? We're looking now. And instead, I mean, I just think it's brilliant.
Bring that in for Peter tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like instead of, again, you know, that's why they hate it when the participants participate. That's why they hate it when the voters vote, because we just pesky peasants will not do what they want us to do. And instead now he can't say anything, right? And right. I hope the other county chair, the other Republican Party county chairs get their heads out of their sand, I'll put that politely, and knock it off, right? We have an election here coming up. Why on earth are they spending their time trying to get rid of Dave Williams? Why are they not spending their time trying to get Republicans elected in their counties,
because
right?
Because they believe in unity.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. They believe in unity. I'm from Sandra. Wasn't a Neil Mathai head of Adams County? We need a Neil to run for something big in Colorado. Governor Neil was a head of Adams County. Then he
and
was
he
head
did
of
run for a state chair.
And he did run for state chair. And he was the head of CD8. I don't think he's going to do that anymore. I think actually Neil is on the school board of his kid's school. So he's gotten busy. But at any rate, it's like I always say, the uniparty rhino establishment wing of the Republican Party, they are the fringe now. They are the one, they're the outliers, right? They're the ones, there's like four of them, right? And the rest of the party right now is grassroots, just like around the country, right? The
are
never
you
Trump.
Tell me Dick Wadhams is not the most popular spokesperson in Colorado?
Well, he's not a spokesperson. He's a spokesperson for the fringe, right? He's the fringe now. He's a spokesperson for the fringe. And
well,
he could
how about the wonderful John Caldera of the Independence Institute?
Well, he's not even a Republican. So I don't even know why they're talking to him about it, right? Well, I do know why, because he'll trash Dave Williams and they trash Trump. It's like, you know, it's crazy. Are they getting money in their back pockets? Well, no, Sandra, but what they want to get is money, because the donor class, the Anschutz media complex and the Anschutz donor class complex does not like the grassroots. They don't like Trump. They don't like the grassroots. And so if you are in Colorado and you're involved in politics and you're a political consultant and you want to get paid, you have to be anti-Dave Williams, anti-Trump too. And they're just trying to get, and I guess it's just power check too. They just want their power back, right?
Well, no. I mean, if they get to control the party, then they can, you know, make deals down to the legislature and, you know, to give them tax breaks and stuff.
Right. But I think the trouble is there's not just that much money, though. So, but anyway, it's just hilarious. Sandra says, yep, you're right about Caldera, right there with Peter Boyle is getting close to Mandy Connell. Yeah. But
well,
again,
Peter was on this Saturday with Caldera.
Dick Wadhams.
And beautiful Dick. And they were just trashing Trump, and that's before they went in. Peter went into supporting Hamas, so
yeah,
supporting the Koch brothers and Hamas, which is a great combo.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, as long as it's for open borders, Hey, if that's good. Anything else you wanted to touch on, Chuck? Or
there's a lot, but we got another show coming up, so.
That's right. On Wednesday, we're going to have Janik Joshi. He's the grassroots candidate in CD8. And we'll talk a little bit more about Americans for Prosperity, because I always get people say, well, wait, well, I thought we liked Americans for Prosperity. We do not. We do not like their open borders. They're openly open borders. They supported Nikki Haley. Pro-Chinese. They're anti-Trump. They want to get people elected to Congress who will oppose Trump. So we'll go over all of that. And then again, Leo, I think you weren't there at the beginning of the show. We are preparing for Fireball Friday. So just want everybody to know that we need to be prepared for that. But that'll wrap it up for us today.
All right, everybody. Have a good time and go get your fireballs.
All right. See you later.